Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Today is Intersex Awareness Day. To bring information on what it means to be intersex and its community, we have some very special guests, Emily Quinn and Patty Spangler. Emily wrote this letter published on MTV Act, "I'm Emily Quinn and I'm Intersex," and had a great video explaining what it means to be intersex. And Patty is a 60-year-old intersex trans woman trucker, retired after 25 years on the road. And she was the subject of a short documentary film, Trucker Patty, which debuted at Outfest in 2000 this year. Patty now lives in the country in Missouri with her two dogs, Gizmo and Gadget. How cute. She is passionate about her relationships, trans and intersex awareness, and kayaking. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Patty.
Hi, guys.
Hi. So let's start out with telling a little more about yourselves, Emily and Patty.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm 25 years old. I'm intersex female, and I live in Los Angeles. I work in the animation industry on a pretty popular TV show, and I'm an advocate for the intersex community outside of my work hours. And I consider myself straight and currently have a boyfriend.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Patty?
Well, I like you said, I'm 60 years old. One little correction, I have a Gizmo and I have a Gidget. Gidget is my newest acquisition. She's a little part Chihuahua puppy. We don't know who the father is, but they're the loves of my life and they keep me very, very happy. After retirement, I decided I wanted to do something more with my life. And so I am working towards the goal of being an intersex and trans advocate. I understand more about the trans community than I do about the intersex community. But that's what I'm working to. I recently had a blog post on Huffington Post Gay Voices in the transgender section. If you all would like to check that out, that would be great.
Thank you. That's awesome.
So, this is for both of you, too, and I guess we'll switch the order this time. What does it mean to be intersex? I know there's a lot of confusion surrounding intersex and trans, and I know that within the intersex community, that's been an issue for years. Why some intersex people identify as trans and others don't. And also, if you could talk a little bit more about the intersex community's relationship with the LGBT community.
Intersex refers to biological sex, whereas trans refers to gender identity. So intersex refers to people who have a variation of sex development, one of hundreds of variations that put them outside the typical male and female boxes, whereas transgender describes somebody who is assigned a particular sex at birth but identifies as a different one. So someone can be both intersex and trans, but that's like saying someone can have green eyes and be trans. Like, intersex is just a biological difference, and so it has no effect on trans because it's a different gender identity, or trans is gender identity. So, and that's the same thing with being any part of the LGBT community. Someone can be intersex and a lesbian or gay or bi, but they aren't necessarily part of that community, if that makes sense. But oftentimes I like to advocate to be part of that LGBT community just because we share the same feelings of isolation and shame and being closeted. So it's the same things that we deal with every day, but it's on a different level because we're a minority. It's just a sexual minority as opposed to an identity minority. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and that's kind of how we feel about it too. All these communities intersect, so yeah. You know. Any minority is, any sexual minority or gender minority is kind of something that we pay attention to and support. So, yes.
Yeah. Patty, could you talk a little bit about being trans and intersex?
Certainly. I realized at a very early age, like probably three, that I was supposed to be a girl. Back in those days, I was born in 1954. You know, I knew nothing about trans, intersex, gay, anything like that. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s that, you know, I understood more about this. In my situation, I identify with trans because just like any other trans woman, I had to transition from living my life as a male to living my life as a female. As a trans woman, the fact that I was also intersexed, I have Klinefelter syndrome, I have XXY chromosomes, was something that for me turned out to be a bonus because when you are XXY, a lot of the features of that, you don't have the same amount of body hair, you don't have the kind of male muscle tone that most men have because of there's a lack of testosterone associated with Klinefelter's. I had no Adam's apple. The only thing I had to do as far as physically transitioning was to have the genital surgery, and it made things much easier for me than a lot of trans women because I never had a problem passing in the community. I developed breasts when I went through puberty, so I never had to have implants. You know, very little electrolysis. I have, you know, a full head of hair, just different things like that that made my transition much easier. And my knowledge of the rest of the intersex community is very, very limited. I think it is with them as it is with a lot of trans women who were able to pass, is they just wanted to live a life and be regular, and was something that is a source of shame you always wanted to keep secret. And I did for 25 years. I married twice. Neither of my husbands knew. And I lived in fear every single moment of my life that somebody would find out and my life would just implode. When I decided to come back out a few years ago, it was one of the most freeing experiences of my life. I now live completely and totally open. Everybody who knows me knows that I am both trans and intersex.
Thank you. That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. There are different types of intersex, too, as was mentioned. Many conditions were classified by external indications and related symptoms, and then chromosome counts came along. Emily, you have complete androgen insensitivity syndrome, and Patty, you have XXYR Klinefelter syndrome. Emily, can you tell me a little bit about what CAIS means?
Yeah, totally. It means that I'm completely insensitive to testosterone. Mm-hmm. So my body, when I was in the womb, it started to develop typically as a male, basically. I was born with XY chromosomes and testes, but because I didn't respond to the testosterone, I developed as a female.
So did you know all your life that you were female, or was this something that just happened during puberty that you found out?
No, it's something that you're completely born looking phenotypically. Your body looks like a female, so I developed as a female. That's how I identify, that's how I see myself.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until I was 10 that I found out that I was interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Patty, you touched a little bit on Klinefelter syndrome. Can you just kind of explain it a little bit about it? I have a whole definitions from the medical community that I got from Wikipedia that explains it in detail. But you did kind of already explain what it means, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is with Klinefelter's, there are many, many different variations of it. And actually, most men that are born with this syndrome actually wind up identifying as male heterosexual. It's only a small percentage. I don't know exactly what the science is. In my own mind, I equate the fact with that, you know, women are born with two X chromosomes, men are born with an XY. And so when you have an extra chromosome, I feel like that in my case, the Y was an extra chromosome that did not relate to me, did not belong to me. And that I have always been a woman, and that's, you know, that is the way that I deal with it. But there are so many different variations, just, you know, like there are so many different variations of gender. My take on all of this and what I advocate for is I advocate for understanding and awareness. You know, anytime something is kept secret and people cannot talk about it openly, it leaves everything open to fear and misunderstanding and discrimination. And I believe that everyone deserves to be who they are without ostracization and, you know, being made to feel like you are a less than person.
Exactly. And I so agree with you. And when we talk about sex and gender, they are two different issues. And so there's so many variations on gender inside of the community, too. So, and even some I hear identify as no gender or the third gender. So, you know, that's important for people to remember when you're talking with someone who's intersex. Don't assume anything and you know, pay attention.
That's absolutely true, and it's the same thing within the trans community as a whole. People just so many times, if they have a limited knowledge about what trans is, just automatically assume that if you're a trans woman, your sexual identity is that of a heterosexual woman, and you're only attracted to men, and that's not true. In the intersex community, and the trans community, none of that has anything to do with your sexual preference. There are as many different sexual preferences as there is in the biological community of the XX and the XY.
I find that people have a hard time grasping that outside of our community, too. We understand it, but you know, people always are confusing sexual and gender identity, and we just need to educate on that.
It's estimated there are one in every 2,000 births are intersex. As you put it, Emily, intersex people are not rare, just invisible. Could you talk about the kind of support that's available for intersex people?
Yeah, I mean, I think Patty kind of hit the nail on the head just talking about just bringing advocacy and telling people about our lives and our stories. Mostly because there's so much shame and stigma in the community. A lot of people, most of the people, myself included, have been told our whole lives that we'll never meet anyone like ourselves, or that we're the only one like us, or any number of things like that. And especially, I talked about this in my letter, but especially when you're a child and you're being told this by doctors, or you're being told by your parents or doctors or somebody that you're not supposed to talk about it, it makes you feel like a freak or a science experiment. And
like there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
When there's not.
Exactly.
When there's not, you know.
Exactly.
And I identify with that completely. When I went through my transition, I had to see two psychiatrists and a psychologist before the surgeon who did my surgery would do the surgery. And I was told then, you know, that if I wanted to have a quote unquote normal life, the best thing for me to do was to put my old life behind me and move forward, never telling. And I was in a situation where my family was very complicit with that. When the Klinefelters came out, and they were not happy when I first came out as gay, the only support I really had was from my mother. But once the XXY thing was known, it was like the whole rest of the family breathed a sigh of relief, and okay, now we've got a reason to a biological reason why I was the way I was, and they were happy to not tell, because they just did not want to go there. And to me, that's probably the most damaging thing that happened in my life, because it's never comfortable living with a secret. You always feel like you are less than, and it colors every single aspect of your life. One of the things that I found very, very interesting, as I became a little bit known in the community as a frequent caller on several of the OutQ shows on Sirius XM radio, and then I went on a couple of cruises and met a bunch of people, and all of the lesbians and gays that I met knew so little about trans and absolutely nothing about intersex. And, you know, my mission now is I want to educate first the LGB community about trans and intersex, because, you know, how do you expect straight people to understand this if we don't have support and understanding in our own community? And I apologize for my dogs barking.
Oh, no, it's one of our running things. We usually have a dog, at least one, barking in almost every show, so don't worry about it. We agree with you. We hope that this episode will actually help educate. So thank you.
I wanted to also say really quickly that every LGB person that I have met and that I have talked to and have asked intelligent questions to a person have been extremely supportive. You know, I have received no negativity from the rest of the community when I tell them my story. The people that I have met through my journey have been extremely supportive.
Do you mind if I go back and answer the question a little bit, the original question?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Just really quickly. I think, with all that being said, it's really important that people find support. I didn't find support group until just about last year, a little over a year ago, and I joined a support group over a year and a half ago, and that was probably the best thing for me, just because meeting somebody like you and meeting all these people who understand what you go through is so important, and it's so valuable. And so, but because there is so much shame and stigma, there's not as much support as there would be about anything else. But there is one here in America, at least, called the AISDFD support group that I'm a part of. And that's been a really huge thing for me.
And that's Interact Youth, is that correct?
No, the Interact Youth is an advocacy group that I advocate with. But we're a bunch of, we're youth, so it's 14 to 25-year-old advocates.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we have links to that we'll have that on the site. So,
what's come up already in this interview is how the medical community has historically treated intersex people. I know that for years, sexual assignment surgery was the thing that was always done with intersex babies. And it's common that doctors told the parents to hide this from the child as they were growing up. I know that, at least in Europe, it's a debate over allowing intersex babies to grow up without any intervention and to really allow them to get into puberty before any decisions are made about sexual assignment. Could you talk a little bit about that aspect?
I said earlier, I don't have a lot of experience as far as intersex and the intersex community. I myself have never met another intersex person in person. It's something that I've been learning and wanting to know more about myself. But, you know, I'm a 100% believer in children should be allowed to be children, to be who they are. And, you know, it's so damaging when people try to put a child into a mold that they do not belong into. It does nothing but damage them.
Yeah, and I am really happy to see this trend where the child is allowed to express themselves as they feel, and it's a good sign.
Yeah, it totally is. Patty, I think I was actually talking to someone about this interview, and someone in our support group, and they want to reach out to you because we're going to have a meeting next summer probably in the Midwestern area, so you'll have to come to that.
Oh, I'm I would be absolutely happy to, and people can reach me. They can Google Tucker Patty, and that'll get me on Facebook, and I'm also Tucker Patty on Twitter. So I'm happy to talk to anybody to answer any questions. My whole mission right now is to get the word out. Understanding and awareness. Enlightenment breeds harmony, and hiding things does nothing but bring fear.
And we all know that's a terrible ripple effect that affects every part of our life. Yeah.
I think, going back to the question a little bit, it is changing slowly. There are people, especially, or at least I'm speaking more from an American's perspective. I'm not sure how it is internationally as much. It's a little better in some countries, which is wonderful. But here in America, it's slowly getting better where parents are starting to let their children, or not gendering their child until their child has kind of really stated or has an idea of what their gender identity is. And it's getting better, but there still are a lot of non-consenting surgeries happening on children. I think it's a big problem, and it's worn a lot of the groups that I work with are really trying to advocate for informed choice.
Well, we need to help you with that. We need to advocate with you because that is just not right.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, from what I see, most children know by a fairly early age, 3 or 4, what gender they are. They're pretty aware, you know. So we just need to let, you know, children express themselves that, you know, themselves. You know, they know.
Yeah.
I will make a plug. A really important Argentinian film, XXY, really shows a family who is dealing with their child's intersexuality really the correct way by letting it go until they're in their teens. And it really brings a lot of important questions. If people haven't seen that film, I would really highly recommend watching it. It's subtitled, but it's really worth the hour and a half.
Alrighty. I have heard the horror stories of when the medical community had complete control over non-consenting bodies and lives and the families, because this is important, because it used to be when a doctor told you something, you complied because you believed that they knew what they were talking about. And it was the way it was done. We haven't heard it has improved markedly, and finding proper medical care easier now for these conditions, and how would we go about doing that?
It's getting, like I think I said before, it's starting to get a little easier, and I think just raising awareness both with the general community and within the medical community is really important. I've spoken at a few medical conferences and to doctors, and it's making these changes helps them realize that what they do is damaging and giving us an informed choice, but it's still really hard. I mean, I live in Los Angeles and still don't have a good doctor who really understands my condition and knows what to do about it. I had a doctor recently this past June who was basically trying to convince me to have surgery by telling me a horror story of a girl who is around my age with XX chromosomes and Turner syndrome, and she's completely separate. And was telling me this horror story about her going through chemotherapy and losing her hair, and that was the sole reason why I needed to have surgery, was because this other person once had it. And I think that's like the equivalent of being like, well, you need to cut off your leg because this person got sick once.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is just so horrible to me. I find it interesting. I live in rural Missouri outside of a town of about 15,000. It's a college town. And I have a wonderful doctor. And the thing that's interesting about him is that his parents were Nigerian immigrants. And Nigeria is not known for being really kind to the LGBT community. But my doctor, and we had this discussion just a couple of days ago when I went in for a regular appointment, you know, he says that, you know, it's all about ignorance. He, you know, he's very happy to have me as a patient because he's learning from me. He says, you did not ask to be born the way that you were born. And the scientific community has a duty to educate themselves so that they can treat all of their patients with dignity and to do it the right way. And the fact that Emily in Los Angeles, you know, in a place where there are so many educated and enlightened people, is having a hard time finding a doctor, I just think that that is so, so horrible. And, you know, I have to remember to thank my doctor for being such a wonderful guy, because he's 100% supportive and, you know, has gone out of his way to educate himself about me and some of the problems that I have.
Thank you.
Yeah. I could also see that a place that really needs education is among OBGYNs and midwives, because the first person that's going to deal with an intersex baby is going to be those professionals, and having some skill set and education to understand how to talk to the parent of a newborn infant about this is really important, you know, because really parents aren't going to be thinking about this when they're going through a pregnancy.
Right, and it's a very good point. How they handle it that first when the baby is first born is very important.
So, what would you all like to see happen when people talk about and to intersex people?
I think it's really important to just to listen to us and really try to understand and empathize with what we go through. I think a lot of people, like when I tell a lot of people, you know, what Patty was talking about earlier, like I can talk about the good things. I can talk about the fact that I don't have body hair, or I don't get a period, or I don't have body odor, and I can spin it in a good light, and then people will say that they're really jealous of me, but then they don't understand what I've gone through. And the same thing, you could talk about the horror stories too, and then they're horrified, but they, like, it's really hard to understand what we go through without actually experiencing it. So I think it's important to just try to empathize and listen to us and let us tell our stories instead of telling our stories for us. And that's really important to making the first step of raising awareness and making change so that things don't happen.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do is when I'm dealing with other people in the community is I remind them of Stonewall. I remind them of the fact that this whole movement that started that has made life so much better for gays and lesbians started with drag queens and trans women standing up and saying that they had had enough. And I tell the lesbian and gay people that I meet and that I talk to that I feel like they have a duty to educate themselves about the trans people, about the intersex, because their lives are good now because there were people that stood up and started this movement that is just, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from anybody because I am so happy that our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters can live openly and in so many states now can get married. I celebrate that with them. But in that same vein, I feel like because life has gotten so much better for them, you know, trans and intersex people are the least understood in the LGBTQ community. And I believe that it is everybody's duty to educate themselves, to reach out, to be there. And, you know, this little bit of activism that I am trying to get started, that is for me what I'm doing is, you know, first of all, there's got to be understanding and awareness before anything else can happen. But I do believe that it is everybody's duty in our community to educate themselves, to make themselves aware, and to reach out. You know, if you don't have a trans friend, make a trans friend. If you don't have an intersex friend, make an intersex friend. It's because through those kind of relationships is where the best understanding and awareness is going to come from. I mean, all of us could go out and lecture to groups, and I hope to do that sometime, you know, and we can do that, but it's those interpersonal relationships that eventually brought things so much better for the lesbians and gays, and it's those interpersonal relationships that are going to help the intersex and the trans people the most.
We're all about educating, too, and we hope that they, you know, soon understand what it is to be trans.
And I'll add that one of the gifts that trans and intersex people have to the broader LGBTQ community is to show gender being on a spectrum, just like orientation can be. It used to be that we had within gay and lesbian cultures, we had these very fixed kinds of gender structures, and they're starting to break down a little bit. And I think part of that is because there has been more understanding of gender being in a spectrum as opposed to being, male or female always.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, John. I mean, can some of you remember the hanky code that used to have to, delineate within the gay males, who was into what, and you had to fit yourself into some category? I have a good friend who has done a lot of work on gender variance and stuff like that. Her name is Diana Cage. She's a professor in New York City. And we've had many discussions about the fact that there is such a huge specter of gender. Just like there are so many different things that people are into sexually, there's so many different degrees of gender. And it all comes right back to what I keep saying is people deserve to be who they are without fear.
Exactly. And it's, they call that being heteronormative, and it is a box that I think everyone should be educated to just jump right at us. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there was also hanky code and key code. I know both of them because I had to live in those communities back when those things were popular. So.
Well, let's say that I was doing my transitioning. I started in 1977 in the French Quarter in New Orleans, and then moved to San Francisco, where I had my surgery in 1982. And I used to live two blocks from 18th and Castro. So, I was very much involved with all that. I worked for a gay moving company called San Francisco Trucking. So, that was so much that was going on back then in the days in the beginning of the movement. I was in my first gay pride parade in 1978, and I've been in Harvey Milk's camera shop more than once.
Great history. I think I read about the moving company in San Francisco years ago. So you were part of it. Cool. That's some history.
All links will be provided on the website.
Is there anything you would like to add?
Well, if I could make a little plug, Tucker Patty, my documentary short, is going to be showing at the Transgendered Film Festival in San Francisco at the Roxy Theater next month on Sunday, November 9th. Come and see it. Come and introduce yourself to me. I'm always happy to talk to anybody. And I'm also available to answer any questions. You can ask me anything, and I will answer as honestly as I can. But I hid for 25 years. I'm not hiding anymore. I want people to know my story. I think that I have a unique perspective, being that I lived as a straight man, I lived as a gay man, I transitioned, and then I lived as a straight woman for 25 years. So, I'm willing to share anything to help bring understanding and awareness.
Thank you so much. Right. Emily?
I just want to thank you guys for really helping us bring awareness. I've been working with MTV right now because we have the first ever intersex character as a main character on a TV show. And it's on a TV show that's geared towards a younger audience that's it's very accepting and a lot of sex, drugs, and alcohol. So it's not the... I don't know, it's definitely forward thinking, but it's really, we're working a lot to really raise awareness about this, and I really appreciate you guys helping us with that.
Well, thank you. That's great. Anytime both of you would like to come back and plug anything or just talk about this again, please do. We're always here, okay?
Thank you so much.
Patty?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much for including me in this. This whole trying to be an activist is so far out of my comfort zone, but I feel like in a lot of ways I was blessed in ways that other trans women are not. And, you know, to me right now, it's all about giving back. You know, I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income. So financially, there's not much I can do to help. But, man, I got a big mouth, and I am not afraid to use it.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. I know none of us, we're not very comfortable with this whole activism thing, too. But it's, you know, one of those things that you do it because you're passionate, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I just wanted a really quick question for Patty. So if we don't live in San Francisco, how can we see your film?
That I cannot tell you. I can tell you that Bo Jeannot, my producer-director, is working on that, and I will make it known on social media, both Facebook and Twitter, when there is a way that people can see the film outside of festivals. He's working very hard on it. I myself do not understand how any of that works. He came out on the truck with me for 10 days. I told stories and looked pretty, and that was my job.
Oh, great.
Patty, I could listen to you talk all day.
I know. It's just, I know. Well, both of you guys are great. You're perfect.
And Emily,
I just wanted,
Emily, can you tell us when to watch MTV for the show that you're working on?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's called Faking It, and it's actually very LGBT-friendly. It's all about, I mean, the premise was very controversial when it first came out because it was about two girls who were faking being lesbians in high school, but it very quickly turned out that one of the girls realized that she actually might be lesbian, and there's a lot of the fan base is questioning who's bisexual and who's not, and who's a lesbian and who's not. But it has a lot of LGBT representation, which is really wonderful. But it's called Faking It, and it airs every Tuesday night.
Do you happen to know, do they actually say the word bisexual on the show?
They say bi a few times. I don't know if they actually say bisexual, but the main character, Amy, is going through a lot of, she's at the stage in high school where she's questioning her sexuality and is not sure if she's a lesbian, is not sure if she's bi, is not quite sure where she lies on the spectrum. So it's a lot of that, of figuring that out, basically.
Sounds pretty normal to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to remind you all that you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are intersex. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, that was great, you guys. Fantastic.
Thank you so
much. Very good job. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
You sit back.